Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
It seems like every time Arkansas has a big basketball game in Fayetteville, Bud Walton Arena just shows out, and that was the case Tuesday night when the Razorbacks beat Auburn 80-76 in overtime. The top-ranked Tigers lost for the first time since November. Their only other loss this season was at UConn. Of course, Arkansas beat a top-ranked team in Fayetteville for the first time. They hadn't played very many top-ranked teams in Fayetteville, had never played one at Bud Walton. That's just the second time that Arkansas has ever beaten a top-ranked team, the other time against North Carolina in 1984 in Pine Bluff. Bob Holt was there for that game, and he was there last night of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Scotty Bordelon with me of WholeHogSports.com. Bob, you were in Pine Bluff in 84. You were there last night. How do you compare what you saw in those two games? Because you know, the people who I've talked to who were in Pine Bluff for that game in 84 say that it was an incredible atmosphere, but only 7,500 people were there. Last night at Bud Walton Arena, it was an arena record, over 20,000 people in the arena. How do you compare the two games? What are your thoughts as you think about those two? Because there probably aren't just a whole lot of people who were at both games.
Yeah, Pine Bluff, that was a wild scene. It was kind of like, you know, Barn Hill on train wheels, I guess. Its capacity wasn't quite as big. It said about 7,500. I think they actually put some extra seats in. It was basically anybody could get in there. They had them in there. And that's where, you know, people probably either they don't know or maybe forgot that back in the 80s, Arkansas had three home courts. They obviously played most of their games in Barn Hill, but they also played at one time, I think they played three games a year in Little Rock at the old Barton Coliseum. And they usually played two games in Pine Bluff at the Pine Bluff Convention Center. But the reason they played in Pine Bluff was because it was the back end of a home and home between Arkansas and North Carolina. And Dean Smith, you know, the legendary Carolina coach, from what I've understand, did not want to play in Fayetteville. A lot of people didn't want to play in Fayetteville. They didn't have to. Some of those conference coaches didn't have any choice. So Arkansas played the first game in Greensboro. And Carolina won a close game, and then Carolina a couple years later returned the game to Pine Bluff, and it was on NBC. I remember this one, a lot of games, you know, most games were not on TV, and getting on NBC, that was Dick Enberg and Al McGuire. That was the big game, you know, to be on with those guys. And you got to remember, this was a Carolina team. I think they were whatever and oh. I think they were like 23-0, had not lost. Michael Jordan was their star, Sam Perkins, Brad Daugherty. You know, Brad Daugherty was the number one pick in the draft. Perkins was first rounder. Jordan, of course, I think the Bulls picked him third. So Carolina was just loaded. And Arkansas had played. They were so, you know, anxious to play that game and get on NBC. They had agreed to play the day after a conference game. Very unusual. They played a really good SMU team in Dallas the day before, and Carolina did not have a game that weekend. I remember I didn't go to Dallas. Carolina practiced at Little Rock Central, and I went to that and watched Jordan and Daugherty and Perkins, all those guys practice. And Dean Smith was at a funeral. So we talked to Bill Guthridge, his top assistant, who replaced him as head coach, you know, several years later. But Arkansas beat SMU in a real tough game. And then they used to fly on small private planes. They could not. I can't remember if they couldn't get into Pine Bluff. I think they couldn't get out of Dallas. I think there were tornadoes and stuff in Texas. So they were not able to fly in until the morning of the game, which it was at noon or I think something like that on a Sunday. They got to Pine Bluff like 2 hours before the game after playing a really tough game the day before. Can you imagine doing that today? And then they went out and beat them. And it wasn't quite as high a scoring game, but it was nip and tuck. That game was back and forth. I think Arkansas had like a 10-point lead at one point, just like last night. They had a 12-point lead, and Carolina got the lead late. I believe it was Jordan, of course, who hit a shot to put him ahead by one. And then Arkansas won on a last-second shot. It didn't go overtime, but it was nip and tuck. And I remember some of the fans ran on the court. It wasn't anything like last night because they didn't have – it was like a third of the people. But it was a raucous crowd, and they really, you know, backed the Razorbacks. I remember going, that's the days you could go in the locker room. We're in there interviewing the players. Bill Clinton was in the locker room. He was the governor then. And it was just, it was a wild scene for sure. But not as big a stage as last night, obviously, but it was, you know, NBC, I don't know what the viewership was, but I'm sure it was really high, probably a few million.
I think about all the Hall of Fame people who were in Pine Bluff that night. I mean, you had Jordan, you mentioned Roy Williams was an assistant coach at North Carolina. Of course, Eddie Sutton, the head coach of Arkansas, lots of great players on those two teams. Joe Klein, you know, played with Michael Jordan on that Olympic team in 84.
And so did Alvin Robertson.
Yeah, Alvin too.
Joe and Alvin were first round draft picks, Olympians with Jordan, Jordan Perkins, Doherty. I say Doherty was the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And Buzz Peterson was on that team, I think, you know, who later became a coach, Matt Doherty. And so, yeah, it was loaded. Actually, the game wasn't over until Steve Hale missed a shot from the corner. And if you watch a replay on YouTube or something, Mal McGuire said, it's good, but it wasn't. He was wrong, thankfully, for Arkansas.
Well, Ballantyne was the hero with the shot that night in Pine Bluff. Last night, there wasn't a memorable shot. There were just a lot of free throws, Scotty. That's how Arkansas won that game. They hit 11 of 14 free throws in overtime. They only hit one shot in the final 5 minutes, and that was the J.D. Notte three-pointer that put them up 69-68. Auburn scores a basket, and then Jalen Williams hits two free throws, and from that point, it's basically just Arkansas parading to the free throw line every time down the court.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, credit to Arkansas, man. They cashed in at the line. I remember Bob wrote a story, maybe it was a couple weeks ago. You know, Arkansas has been, you know, one of the best in the country at and not only getting to the line, but making free throws. And, I mean, you know that, you know, something like that is going to play a big role in the game. And then, you know, on the other side, I think Auburn finished 8 of 17 at the free throw line. And I thought that, you know, the crowd last night was just like beyond maybe even what I expected going into the night. And, you know, I thought it was going to be a hornet's nest going in there, but I feel like it just so far surpassed that, you know, the crowd legitimately made a difference in the outcome of the game. As you look at some of the free throws that Auburn took, you know, Walker Kessler stepped to the line, you know, in the second half. I think Arkansas's got a small lead, and you know, he steps to the line, and then all of a sudden you hear the students doing the drum roll on the seat backs in front of them. And then everybody, like 20,000 people, are screaming, and he missed the first free throw, bad short. And I think that rattled him a little bit, and he tried to overcorrect on the second one. And, you know, if there wasn't a backboard, that shot would have hit the stanchion, I think. And then there was a lane violation, so he got to step to the line again, which probably didn't really want to do. And he missed that one long too. And then I think about the sequence late. There's maybe 5 or 6 minutes left. Auburn's up one. Jalen Williams turns the ball over. Katie Johnson, you know, who's kind of the heart and soul, the character on that Auburn team. He's got an opportunity, probably his best opportunity to score all night. And he draws a foul on Stanley Amude, steps to the line, and the place is just, I mean, the noise is ear splitting. And he goes 0-for-2. At the line, and Kessler goes to the free throw line in overtime and misses another pair. I think the crowd just made a huge difference, especially, you know, when Auburn was at the line, maybe probably threw Auburn for a loop a little bit in terms of their, you know, they were out of sync offensively. I think that also had a little bit to do with the defensive game plan Arkansas had for their pick and roll coverage, which was really good. Had been really good all year with Kessler and Green, but yeah, free throws, man, they pay off. And that free throw drill that Jalen Williams was talking about in the post game, you know, those drills, and, you know, it might seem kind of irrelevant maybe at the time when you're working on that stuff in practice, but man, practice pays off. And you know, that helps Arkansas seal a, you know, a win on a pretty unforgettable night.
Auburn, they took 80 shots. They took 80 shots in this game. And I know that there was overtime, just mind-blowing to see the number of shots they took. They took 32 three-pointers. They didn't shoot very well. They were 30 of 80. They were 8 of 32 from three-point range, 8 of 17, like Scotty said, from the free throw line. I thought the crowd noise affected them all night. And, Bob, had it not been for a massacre, really, on the glass, Auburn out-rebounded Arkansas 60-42. They had 24 offensive rebounds. I think that led to 22 second chance points. If it weren't for the second chance points, I think Arkansas might have run them out of the building.
Yeah, Arkansas, they had a big advantage in turnovers, points off turnovers. I think they outscored Auburn 24-10 off the turnovers. Auburn had 19, which is, that's a high number. And I know they're missing one of their guards, Zeb Jasper, but he plays about 20 minutes a game. I mean, I don't think they can blame it on that necessarily. I'm sure they would like to have had him, but Arkansas just did a really good job of pressuring them. I think they used their quickness on them. And then obviously the big difference was Arkansas, you know, hit a lot more free throws and forced a lot more turnovers, but they did shore up some things on the boards. I think Auburn out-rebounded them by 16 in the first half. There's like they were playing volleyball, you know, miss, get, you know, repeat, what, rinse and repeat, whatever. And but in the second half, Arkansas was only out-rebounded by 2. Audis Toney had a big play early in the half, maybe a minute in. He got an offensive board. I think it was their first offensive board of the game. I don't think they had an offensive rebound in the first half. They certainly had opportunities shooting around 37%, just like Auburn did. But and then he got a putback, and that seemed to, you know, get everybody else going. And so they rebound a lot better in the second half. Eric Musselman said that was a big point of emphasis at halftime, that they had to hit the boards. You said after the game, you got to get back on defense, but that doesn't mean you have to be allergic to rebounding the basketball. Really, their free throws and turnovers, it looked like the rebound might be enough for Auburn to win, but Arkansas, you know, really, really played pretty complete game in the second half, shot well, knocked down their free throws, rebound a lot better, kept forcing turnovers. And you know, they got down 5 with under 3 to play, and you're thinking, now Auburn's going to pull out another one. They'd rallied a lot of these games. They were taking teams' best shots in the first half and then rallying in the second half. But Arkansas had the wherewithal to come back and force overtime, and then really, took control in overtime at the free throw line.
I thought a couple of Auburn's backup bigs, with Devin Cambridge and Dylan Cardwell, they came in and they provided really good energy and offensive rebounding. You know, when Kessler and Jabari Smith had to sit, but I mean, Walker Kessler was just—he was out of this world. Good, 16 points, 19 boards, 7 blocks. If not for him, like, I don't know where Auburn is in that game. Arkansas's defense was just so good again. And I thought their initial shot defense was phenomenal. I mean, I just finished tracking shots defended for each Arkansas defender. Auburn was 5 of 17 against JD Notte. They were 3 of 13 against Stanley Amude and 3 of 12 against Jalen Williams. I mean, that's just lights out defense from, you know, I think probably Arkansas's 3 best defenders or 3 of their 4 best defenders. If you throw in Audis Toney, who gets a pretty tough assignment every night, but Auburn was able to hang around because they got lots of uncontested shots, you know, just on second chance opportunities. I had them with 11 uncontested buckets, most of those on second chance opportunities. But, I was looking at KenPom earlier today, and I think this really speaks to the level of defense that Arkansas is playing lately. The last 2 teams to come into Bud Walton Arena, Mississippi State and Auburn, when they came in on the day of the game, they were number 1 in SEC only games in offensive efficiency. And Arkansas held both of those teams to their 3rd worst offensive efficiency rating of the season. That's phenomenal defensive basketball. And that's why, you know, that right there is kind of in a nutshell why Arkansas is, you know, playing at the level they are.
That was a loss for Auburn, but I was really impressed with the play of Walker Kessler, 16 points, 19 rebounds, 7 blocked shots. I thought when he got his 7th blocked shot, I think there were still about 8 or 10 minutes left in regulation, I thought we might be seeing a triple-double. I thought Auburn, it was really creative, some of the things they did, putting him on JD Notte at the top of the key. And I thought Kessler, you know, held his own defensively against Notte. That's where a lot of his blocked shots came from. Of course, Notte, you know, he scored 28 points. He also got the best of him a time or two. But I thought that was a huge point in the game. I think Arkansas was up by 3. Kessler fouls out with 1:03 left in overtime. And I think he went into overtime with 2 fouls, didn't he? I think he might have committed 3 of his fouls in overtime, or if they weren't in overtime, it was 3 in the, you know, final couple of minutes of regulation plus overtime. Looked to me like he just really wore down at the end, and that was a real big turning point in the game, getting him out. And that was also one of the loudest moments of the night whenever he fouled out. The na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye was really rocking Bud Walton Arena.
Yeah, and that's when, you know, the students that, you know, were kind of in the upper deck overflow, you know, they started squeezing down into the student section in the lower bowl. I mean, I think that's when Kessler fouled out, I think that's when Arkansas students, at least in the fans, kind of as a collective, you know, they really started feeling that, you know, a win was, you know, just right there. All they had to do was just kind of close the thing out. But I think Arkansas did a pretty good job of seeking Kessler out, you know, on switches. And JD Notte is one of the more unguardable guys in this league. And I think anytime that I think Arkansas would feel good anytime that Kessler, a 7 foot one guy who's mobile, much more mobile than most 7 foot one guys, Arkansas is going to take that matchup with JD with the ball in his hands 10 times out of 10. There's not many guards in this league that can stay, that can keep JD Notte in front. And Walker Kessler is not, I mean, he's just not going to do that very often. And JD was able to draw some fouls on him and, you know, get to the rim, put pressure on the rim. And, you know, that's it. I think JD at this point, you know, I think he's going to start drawing a little bit more attention nationally. I mean, that dude is just, all he cares about is getting buckets. And that's just, I love that so much about him. And I think when Jalen Williams and JD Notte walked into the post game press conference last night, both of those guys just looked absolutely drained. And JD Notte brought with him a handheld massage gun, because he took a couple knees to the thigh. And, you know, before he actually started taking questions, he was kind of talking to Jalen kind of under his breath. And he was like, man, I took two knees to the thigh and I was about ready to quit. But there's no quit in JD Notte, and there's no quit in Jalen. Those two guys are just pretty special. And I think JD, he's going to start getting more respect nationally. And I think that if you're an Arkansas fan, I don't think you, if you were taking this guy for granted, maybe I think it's beyond time to cut that out now.
Really, one of the big moments for Arkansas, I thought, was whenever Jalen Williams got into foul trouble in the first half. You know, Arkansas got up to a 12-point lead. It was 23-13 when Bruce Pearl called a timeout following a three-pointer by Notte. And somewhere right in there is whenever Williams committed his second foul, had to go sit on the bench. We've seen that happen with him quite a bit in the first half in games, you know, even during this winning streak that Arkansas has had. But when Williams went out, it was like the offense just almost ceased to exist for Arkansas. They didn't make a shot the final almost 8.5 minutes of the first half. They only scored 5 points after that Notte three-pointer, and all of those were at the free throw line. I just think it goes to illustrate the importance of Jalen Williams to Arkansas. We know what he does defensively, taking the charges. I think I wrote down he took 3 charges last night, had 11 rebounds. He blocks shots. He alters other shots. But, you know, offensively, it just seems like so much of the offense goes through him. And when he wasn't on the floor, I thought it really showed. And that was a critical moment in the game. It allowed Auburn to get back into it, because up until that point, you felt like Arkansas might pull away for a pretty big win margin wise.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that lead went from 12 down to 3 at halftime, and then Auburn tied it pretty quick and early in the second half. But yeah, I mean, just, it's hard to qualify how much Jalen Williams means to this team. I mean, obviously JD Notte is the leading scorer in the league. He had a great game last night, and they really play off each other well. You know, the basket that sent the game to overtime, Notte had a bigger guy on. It might have been Kessler. I'm trying to remember, but and JD KD Johnson ended up on him like a 6'1" guard, and he got him sealed. And JD read that and got him the ball, and he had a, you know, finished at the rim. And then Auburn had a shot at the end. Green missed a three, but that was really a huge basket. And getting baskets last night for both teams was tough, you know. I mean, Arkansas really excelled at the free throw line. Getting baskets was hard. So those two, I think, just have a really good two-man game, whether it's pick and roll, or sometimes it might be Jalen finding JD, because Jalen's such a good passer. But just think about all the things Jalen does. I mean, he's scoring a lot now. You know, outside, inside, you know, jumpers. He's knocking his free throws down at a high rate. He takes those charges. He blocks shots. He's, you know, a facilitator at the top of the key, you know, reading the defense and figuring out what to do. He's like a quarterback back in the pocket, kind of reading the defense, figuring out his progressions and should I check down or should I try to thread the needle? And he just does so many things. And he was, you know, obviously a good player at the end of last year. He was starting in the NCAA tournament. And you thought he was going to be pretty good this year, but he really, in the last month, he's just gone from being, you know, I would say a pretty good SEC player to just, he's playing like one of the best players in the country, you know, and at his size, he just does so many things. It's, you know, the only thing right now is kind of his Achilles heel is getting in foul trouble. That's really the only thing, as well as he's playing, that's holding him back a little bit. Cause you know, Eric has a pretty hard and fast rule. Like a lot of coaches do, you get two fouls in the first half, you're coming out. And that's really the only thing that's holding Jalen back a little bit right now.
Yeah, Bob mentioned that layup that JD found Jalen for to tie the game late in regulation. I thought that was such a huge bucket for Jalen, just because like Kessler's hanging around the rim when he made that layup. And I just finished with my shot charts and all that. And before Jalen made that layup, he was 1 of 5 at the rim in the game. And the only score he had at the rim was, you know, when Kessler was out of the game. I think early in the first half, Jalen caught a pass from Chris Lexler on the baseline and threw it out a pretty big dunk early. But other than that, Jalen was, I think he was 0-4 after that until that game tying layup. And just to Matt's point about Jalen and just the importance of him and, you know, the flow and the synchronicity of kind of Arkansas's offense when he's on the floor, like I was tracking potential assists, and Arkansas's potential assists were coming on nearly every possession early in the game, especially like the first 10 or 12 minutes, you know, when they're building their 10-point lead. Jalen goes to the bench, and I didn't feel like I charted another potential assist until like early in the second half when Jalen was back on the floor. He just got such great vision. He normally takes pretty good shots. You know, he took a couple of threes against Auburn on Tuesday that he probably wished that, you know, he maybe would have not rushed a little bit. But Jalen is a guy that he can catch, you know, at the top of the key on either wing, you know, at either pinch post at in the short corners. And his skip passes are just absolutely dangerous. And I think one of the biggest passes of the night was to Devo in the left corner in front of Arkansas's bench for a big three. That's just the kind of vision and you know, shot creation and playmaking that you're not going to find hardly in any other 6'10 guy or taller, you know, across the country.
How big of a win do you think this was for the Razorbacks? I mean, we talked last week about they need resume wins. So this is a huge resume win now, because that LSU game that we've talked about is really the game that they've been hanging their hat on. That just looks, if LSU doesn't get his act together in the next couple of weeks, they may be a bubble team, which is just so hard to imagine. But outside of NCAA tournament resume building win, which this was that, and they've got a lot more chances for those types of wins as the season goes along. Just big picture, Scotty, as you look at the program, year three under Eric Musselman, you know, you're trying to, you know, recruit off of, you know, the success that you're having. You've got the good class for next year, but, you know, now they're already looking ahead to the, you know, the class of 23 and trying to build that class. How big of a win do you think this was for Arkansas? Do you think it's just one win, or you think it's something more?
I think it can possibly be both. Like, it is one win, but I mean, it's the biggest win you can have. You know, if you're if you're Eric Musselman right now, like, you want eyeballs on your program, and you delivered, you know, in the most impressive, chaotic fashion that you could imagine. I mean, every bit of that game lived up to the hype, and you came out on the right side of it. And Eric was asked after the game just what kind of an impact a win like that can have on recruiting. And Eric just kind of sat back and laughed, and he was like, "Man, if you could look at my phone right now, you would see that it's already making a huge difference." Like, I'm sure Eric's phone was like, he probably got thousands of text messages last night from people far and wide. I think it also, and Eric spoke to this too, I think it also earned Arkansas some respect nationally. He said Arkansas had been completely overlooked before Tuesday, their 8-game winning streak. And I mean, I kind of understand why some of the national guys were overlooking them a little bit. They weren't beating or playing, you know, exactly the greatest teams. Like, we've talked about it before, maybe the best win in that stretch was at LSU. They didn't have their point guard. LSU's, you know, they're trending in the wrong direction. And West Virginia's, you know, a really tough team, but I mean, that's a team that lost 5 or 6 straight games too. But I think beating the number one team and doing it the way that they did, showing as much toughness and grit. You know, I think that that obviously is going to earn some points with the folks who have a little bit of pull and clout, you know, at a national level.
Yeah, West Virginia finally stopped the bleed. I think they beat a ranked Iowa State team last night. So, well, let's hear from Bob Huggins of the Mountaineers. But yeah, I mean, you just don't. I mean, that was the first time Arkansas had played a number one team since playing Kentucky twice in 2015. Only the 13th time in school history, first time ever in Walton Arena, only the third time ever in Fayetteville, and first time since UNLV in 91. So those opportunities are pretty rare. They're probably going to become a little more common in the SEC because I think the league's getting so strong, but it's still uncommon. And to get them at home, and when your team – to me, the planet's all perfectly aligned for Arkansas. They had Auburn at home. Arkansas is playing the best it has all year. They're healthy. They figured out their rotation. They were loaded with confidence. You know, the fans were there. It wasn't like an ice night, or it wasn't during holidays, or, you know, the fans were into it. It wasn't like Arkansas had lost three in a row. And so you see some of these teams are having trouble drawing even when Auburn comes in. But the Arkansas fans and the team were just totally hyped for that. It was like the perfect storm for Auburn just to come into Walton Arena, into that tornado. And or hurricane, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. Maybe it was combined hurricane tornado. You know, that was just a great opportunity. And you know, credit to Arkansas, the players, the coaching staff, they didn't waste it. They made the most of it. Huge resume win, huge for recruiting. You know, beyond, obviously, they've already signed a great class. And it's like Eric said, you know, the whole every eyeball in the state was on that game because the Razorbacks. But a lot of eyeballs around the country were on that game because of Auburn. And so, you know, in this day and age with all the social media and everything, it's just, you know, it's just such a huge win for Arkansas in a lot of ways.
Yeah, just a huge credit to Arkansas, like Bob said, for, you know, seizing the moment last night. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, Eric Musselman talked about this. You know, they had Kentucky on the ropes on a Saturday, and that was a game, you know, that if Arkansas wins, they kind of announced their arrival early in Eric's tenure. And he said, you know, from a maybe an energy playing standpoint, you know, Arkansas didn't lack that. But emotionally, you know, they got a little bit too high when John Calipari got tossed. And after that, I mean, it was all Kentucky. Like emotionally, they were, you know, they were kind of spent after that. He said he didn't sense any kind of panic from his guys, you know, when Arkansas got down five with less than 3 minutes left. I mean, the toughness that it takes to bounce back from a Wendell Green, you know, scoring spree when he hits back-to-back-to-back buckets and puts Auburn from down two to up five. And, you know, that for a lot of teams, like that's a gut punch that you don't really recover from. But Jalen Williams said that, you know, they just kept fighting and kept fighting. And that's just kind of been the story of the season for this team. But I think also the fans really delivered too. A special shout out to that kid that, you know, brought the cardboard sign in that said he had a seizure early on Tuesday, and he still made it to the game. I mean, I think that tells you a lot about the understanding of the magnitude of the moment on Tuesday. And you know, the fans delivered and Arkansas delivered, and it led to a really special night.
Felt like I might have one with some of the strobes they had going on during the game. It was just a pretty wild experience that just kind of overwhelmed your senses almost in a lot of different ways inside the arena. The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit their showroom at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
No surprise here. The SEC announced on Wednesday that Arkansas is being fined $250,000 for the fans running onto the court at the end of Tuesday night's game. It's Arkansas's third violation of the SEC's policy that prohibits fans from going on the floor or on the field. It's not specific to one sport. It's for all sports. Arkansas was fined back in September $100,000 for the fans running onto the field after the football game against Texas. They were also fined in 2014 for a football game against LSU. They can't be fined more than $250,000 moving forward, but they can be fined for every subsequent violation of that rule from the SEC. With all due respect to the Mississippi State game, nobody remembers it last Saturday night. Arkansas won that one 63-55. We're not going to spend time talking about it. I want to move ahead to what the Razorbacks have going on this week. And it starts Saturday at Alabama. Talk about home court advantages. Alabama's been pretty darn good in Tuscaloosa this year. They beat Baylor down there a couple of weeks ago. It's a really interesting Alabama team. They've lost a couple of games to Auburn, but they've also beaten Gonzaga. They've beaten Baylor. They have beaten Houston. You never really know what you're going to get out of Alabama. It seems to me, Scotty, like this is the type of game that is prime for a letdown if you're the Razorbacks, because you're on that long winning streak, and now you just got a pretty good team's attention by beating the team that they haven't been able to beat a couple of times this year. It just seems like it's the type of game where Arkansas's got to guard against coming out flat.
Yeah, I think that's the natural thing to kind of expect out of a team. Maybe if you're a fan or like us, you cover the team, you kind of expect Arkansas can't continue to play at the level that they did, on kind of a euphoric night, bouncing back, winning on the road in the SEC is really hard. And it's going to be especially hard on Saturday. Because like Matt mentioned, like the only team, or I guess Alabama's beaten Baylor on its home floor. I think they beat Houston on their home floor, like you mentioned. I mean, that's a really, really good team. Arkansas is coming out of this Auburn game, and I think they're emotionally drained and they're physically drained. Like that above anything else last night, when Jalen and JD walked in, I could just see their bodies were just ailing from playing 36 plus and 41 plus minutes. I think it leans in Arkansas's favor a little bit that they played on a Tuesday. And so now you have maybe an extra recovery day. So you got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday's a travel day. So maybe you got an extra day built in for a little bit of rest and also, quite a bit of preparation for a pretty talented Alabama team. But, given the way that this Arkansas team has been playing, over the last month, I'm not really expecting a letdown. I think at this point, Arkansas has shown enough toughness and ability to defend, whether they play the best team in the country, one of the worst teams in the league in Georgia. They're going to defend and they're going to be tough. And I think they'll be able to at least hang around against Alabama on Saturday.
And then after the Alabama game, Arkansas goes to Missouri next week. Missouri might have a little bit of payback in mind as well. Arkansas beat the Tigers by 44 earlier this season at Bud Walton Arena, the game that started this long winning streak for Arkansas. Remember, Missouri took Auburn down to the wire in Columbia just a few weeks ago. I think 55-54 might have been the final score of that game. I've said this on here a few times. You never really know what you're going to get out of a Quanzo Martin team. Sometimes you might get a 44-point loss, and the next game you might get a win over a top 10 team. You just never know. One more thing before we get out of here, Bob. You're probably not the right voter to ask about this, because you've been putting Arkansas in the top 25 the last couple of weeks. If they don't beat Alabama on Saturday, do you think the win over Auburn and what they've done over the last month, do you think it warrants them being in the top 25 next week, even with a loss on Saturday?
Yeah, I would think so, because, they've won 9 in a row. Alabama, I assume Alabama will be a slight favorite. And like Scotty and you said, that Alabama's got some great wins. I mean, they beat Gonzaga in Seattle, which is essentially a road game. But they've also lost at Georgia, and they lost at Missouri. And, you know, you kind of wonder what kind of – which Alabama team is going to show up. But they seem to play the level of their competition. And we know Arkansas is really good competition for them. I think there's a bit of a rivalry there, too. I don't think Arkansas will have a letdown. I agree with what Scotty said. Alabama's playing Wednesday night, and so they're playing a day later than Arkansas. Of course, Arkansas has to travel, but it's an 11 a.m. game, which is kind of a weird tip-off time. You wonder what their crowd will be like. Will they be into it? You know, Arkansas went down there a couple of years ago. I know it's a totally different, you know, teams and everything, totally different rosters, but still Arkansas has had success there. I think there's a bit of a rivalry between them because, you know, last year Alabama blew them out in Tuscaloosa, and Arkansas came back and had a big game and beat them in Fayetteville. And Alabama's the defending conference champs. They got a lot of talent. I think, you know, Nate Oates and Eric Musselman, I think there's a lot of mutual respect there, but I think they want to beat each other pretty bad too. So I think that'll be a really good game on Saturday. And I don't expect Arkansas to have a letdown. Now, if they beat Alabama, they might have a letdown at Missouri, but I don't think they'll have a letdown at Alabama.
That game Saturday against Alabama begins at 11 a.m. It'll be on the SEC Network. Hope you'll join us at WholeHogSports.com before, during, or after the game. Plenty of coverage of the win over Auburn, and we'll have more coverage of that throughout the week. Subscribe to the podcast by searching Whole Hog Radio on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. The Whole Hog Baseball Podcast will premiere its fourth season later this week. Bubba Carpenter, the color analyst for the Razorbacks, is going to be joining me as a co-host on that podcast this year. For Bob Holt and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.